Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this time. Lord God, that you set up. Lord, I know that you set things into place and your timing is perfect. So I thank you and I praise you and I thank you for every person that came in this room. Lord, that you take someone that is just loves you as much as I can some days, Lord. And Lord God, you just take and you use each one of us, Lord God, as we yield to you. And I thank you for that opportunity. One more opportunity to give the devil a black eye and to give honor and glory to your name, Jesus. So we praise you, we thank you, and we give you all the glory. Amen. So some of you know me and some of you don't, and that's good. That's really good. So I have some that won't judge me that are in the room. I'm teasing, sort of. Okay, so my teaching today is out of Mark 9, verses 14 through 29, and I'm just going to give you a little bit of backdrop. I'm not actually, you guys can go to the scripture if you want to, but so what had happened, I'm going to back up a little bit. What had happened in that time of Jesus with his disciples, he had taken James, John, and Peter up on the mountain. And that's where we know about the Mount of Transfiguration. So Peter had already stuck his foot in it, which, by the way, I can relate to Peter quite a bit. Anyway, and then they came down off the mountain. And when they come down off the mountain, something big's going on. There's these religious leaders are over here, and they're yak, 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 yak to the disciples, and there's all these people around. And Jesus is concerned. He's like, what's going on here? What's going on? And what had been happening was there was a father, who had brought his son, who was demon-possessed, and who would throw himself into fire and water, hot water, and different kinds of things. And he wanted the disciples to heal him. He actually was looking for Jesus. But the disciples were there. Jesus was up on the mountain. And so the father had brought his son could get healed, but nothing happened, and he hadn't received his healing at that point. So when Jesus comes on the scene, he's like, what's going on here? And the father says, hey, you know, I brought my son here, but your disciples couldn't do anything here. Well, you know, the Bible, so I'm going to go ahead and throw in what Nancy wanted me to share, which was without faith it's impossible to please God. Because the other part of that is that because we must believe that he is, right? And so not real sure where the disciples were at that point. I think possibly they were just, not really walking in their full authority yet. I think they were still discovering who Jesus was, even though they'd seen Jesus do all kinds of miracles and was very much, they loved Jesus, but I think they may have been even a little bit more skeptical. Jesus wasn't around at the time, so it wasn't like they had their fearless leader with them, you know, and Peter was, of course, up on the mountainside. I'm just speculating what could have possibly happened, okay? I'm filling in the blanks here. You guys can go with whatever you want, take the meat and spit out the bones there, but anyways, so Jesus says to the Father, he said he really challenged his belief system, and because the father says to him, he says, if you can heal my son. And Jesus turns to him and says, if I can. Now, I don't know what his tone of voice is. I read tones a lot. I'm always talking to my son about tones, and he's like, Mom, that's not what I said. Yes, but your tone said that. So it's the way maybe Jesus talked to him was like, if I can, like, maybe, I don't think Jesus was ever really totally confused, but maybe just like, I don't get you. Why, here, you brought your son, you had faith to believe that I could heal your son, but now you're saying, if I can. That's where he says, for those who believe, all things are possible with God. So, now I want to go into talk about obedience. When God speaks something to us to do or to, tells us to go speak to somebody, talk to somebody, spend time with somebody, he brings somebody into your heart. So I want to get real practical with you, okay? So God begins to speak something to you, and he shows you somebody, and he wants you to go speak to them. Maybe you're in the grocery store, you're in the post office, you're across the harbor or whatever, you see somebody from afar, Holy Spirit reveals, he's speaking to you and saying, go over there, go talk to that person. And you're like arguing with him. I know you guys never do that, but I do. And at times, as bold as I am, it's taken years of practice, and it's taken times when I've missed it. But when you walk in obedience, the Lord showed me something about when we walk in obedience and humility. It takes a lot of humility to walk in obedience sometimes. and I haven't always had that, and I don't always have it. But when I do walk in it, and then I walk in obedience, then God moves powerfully, and he does things that supersede anything that I could have even imagined that he would do. Like just by talking with somebody, starting a conversation with them, wow, I love your hair. Boy, your hair looks so beautiful. Oh, I saw you the other night, and you were like dancing, you know, like last night you were up there dancing, and your arms were up a certain way, and you just look so beautiful. And I took this beautiful picture of you, and maybe you don't even realize, you know, that you have a gift. And all of a sudden you begin to share, that person begins to share their heart with you, their life with you. And pretty soon what's happening is you're building rapport with that person. You're not shoving necessarily Jesus down their throat, but what you're becoming interested in them, and they see that, correct. Even if it's just a small thing, you know, people are not used to people, honestly, in this day and age, we're not real used to people being kind to us. Just, you know, like walking past somebody and saying something to them. We have no idea how God will use that. Out of obedience, like Lord says, say something to that woman or tell that woman I love her boots, which I do like your boots, they're cool. But anyway, too bad we don't wear the same size. That's all I have to say. But anyway, so there's times when God uses, many times I would say, every time, let's just say this, when God puts a word of faith, he puts faith in your heart to speak to someone, to do something, and then all of a sudden, like Nancy was saying, then trust comes in. You have to trust that God has spoken to you, right? Well, some of us begin to question, you know, is this, God, is that really you? Are you really telling me that to go do this or to say this? And I remember one time I was asking the Lord, I said, Holy Spirit, is that you telling me to do that? I didn't even remember what it was. I just knew he was asking me to be obedient about something and to speak to somebody, and he said, just like this, I could just see the Holy Spirit stand there like this. Now would the devil tell you to do something like that? You know, it was like, oh my goodness, no. I mean, he had the hip going and everything. I could see the Holy Spirit doing that. Because we sometimes question things to death, and then we miss opportunities. Sometimes those opportunities are very quick. We have to be quick to hear. We have to be quick to hear the Lord and quick to obey. Quick to hear the Lord and quick to obey when he says something to us. And guess what? If you miss it, there's nothing lost when you miss something. Like if you go to them and you go, hey, you know, wow, I really like your hair. It's so pretty. You just always look so nice. And you had no idea what hell she's been feeling most of the day. Maybe she got up this morning, she had a terrible hair day, let's just say, okay? And she just felt like she looked ugly and she needed to put a bag over her head. Just say, you know, there's times when we all feel like that, right? Even guys. And so you say something kind, and you're not being trite, by the way. You're being led of the Lord to be an encourager, to speak encouragement. She said, well, you know, I've really been struggling because I have this shoulder issue and I can't hardly do my, I can't hardly do my hair. Lord wants me to share something with you right now. I can't hardly move my shoulder because it hurts so bad. And then you say, oh my goodness, well, can I pray for you, Liz, right now? Would you believe with me? I'm just going to believe that God's going to touch you and heal you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that Liz would be healed by the Lord in her shoulder and every other infirmity that she has in her body, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, in Jesus' name. You be healed, Liz. Okay, so now the story I'm going to tell you. You guys really believe that, didn't you? Because I believe that God, that there was something in Liz that God wanted to heal. So here's what happened. Three or four weeks ago in church, I'm at the back of the church. No, I'm at the front of the church, and I felt like I heard the Holy Spirit say, I want you to go do a cartwheel. And I'm like, sorry, people, are you freaking kidding me? I'm just like, what? Are you serious? You want me to do a cartwheel? Okay, I've heard people doing weird stuff in church. And then somebody, you know, a bunch of people get saved, or one person gets saved, or somebody does something, stands on their head in the bank, and somebody was just going to commit suicide, and they asked the person why they stood on their head in the bank, and they said God told them to do that, so they did it out of obedience, but they found the darkest corner. So anyways, I knew I go to a very large church, very large church, and I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding. So I was kind of arguing back and forth with the Lord. My pastor knows me well, and so not because I'm weird or anything, but he just knows me well. And so so I just felt like I needed to submit that to my pastor. Well, that's kind of a difficult thing to do on a Sunday morning, but I felt to do that. So I went up to him and I said, he was in the front row, and I told him that I felt like the Lord wanted me to do this. I said, I have no idea why. He said, well, go ahead, but just do it in the back of the church. Well, he had no idea how much of a release that was, and a relief that was. I didn't have to do it in the aisle. Like, I thought I was going to have to do it. So I went to the back, and when I felt the release of the Lord, I was waiting for God. Because even after I submitted myself to my leadership, I was waiting for God to release it. So, when I finally felt that, okay, it's a go moment. You know, there's a go word. And God may use people to give you a go word, like go, now. Okay, so I felt the Holy Spirit give me the go. So I went to the back and I grabbed the guys that were in the back. And I said, listen, okay, it's going to look weird, but I'm just telling you what I'm getting ready to do. So the one guy goes, that is kind of different. And I said, yes. I said, but one of them said that. He said, oh, okay. I said, can you guys make sure that I don't get hurt, you know, that I don't hit somebody or whatever. I'm doing a cartwheel. I'm 56 years old doing a cartwheel, right? And I'm thinking, Lord, I haven't done cartwheel in years. So I just did the cartwheel. And do you know, I did it perfectly. And I thought, darn, I should have done a round off. I used to be able to do a round off. Well, anyway, so I do this cartwheel, and then I was like, then I was just standing there. And a couple of the girls that are in ministry were in the back, and one of them I walked over to, and I hugged her real big, and she's in charge of social services there at the church, and I've been involved in her life in the past, and I said, wow, I just really felt like, I said, wow, you know what? When I was in the middle of doing the cartwheel, I remembered I had a hurt shoulder. I said, do you know what? And it takes months for shoulders to repair, many times. And I'm like, oh my goodness. As I'm going over, I'm feeling that shoulder, and I'm like, oh my goodness. So I told her, I said, my shoulder doesn't hurt. She said, oh, so your shoulder, huh? And I said, yeah, I thought it was for healing for people. Well, hello. I have not had any pain in my shoulder since. So not only was I being obedient to the Lord for whoever else was in the room and whoever else would turn around and see me, which I was hoping not a whole lot of people would. But I'm learning to walk in obedience after 32 years knowing the Lord. I have said yes to the Lord more times than I can count. But I usually have said it in the past. I've said it very afraid. Okay, I'll do it, but I'm scared. Okay, well, but you're still going to do it. Yes, I will do it. But I'm still afraid. But that's okay, because I'm big and you don't have to be. God calls a lot of us just, I won't say normal because I don't fit into that category. I am actually special in God's eyes, just like you guys are. And I'm supernatural, like God made us, right? He made us supernatural people when we came to know him as Lord and Savior. And so when he calls us to do great things, he usually doesn't call the great. He calls those that will be willing to say yes to him. You hear that? You don't have to be great to do great things. Most people will never have their names written down, ever. They'll never have books written about them, but there's one book that will be written about you, and your name will be in it, like Nancy said, over and over. I love that. Over and over and over. Did you like that? Last night, your name will be written down over and over and over and over. Every time you say yes and every time you obey God, he just keeps writing. I wonder if he does calligraphy. I have no idea. But anyway, just something really beautiful. Our names are written. And I know for a lot of us, a lot of people can look at you and go, well, you're just outgoing, you're funny, you know, you get along with people, blah, 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 blah. You have no idea what it's like to be me. You have no idea what it's like to be Mary Beth. You have no idea what it's like to be, name every person in this room. You have no idea what it's like to be Liz. We're all unique. We are all unique. You have no idea what it's like to be Jesse. He's such a teaser, which is why I love him. He scared me in the airport and made me scream, came up behind me and made me scream, so I've been paying him back ever since. But anyway, I needed healing after that. I'm going to go back to my notes a little bit. So if I stand up and then I sit down, that's okay with you guys? Okay, good. Because sometimes if I feel the anointing, I don't want to read that right now. Get away, Fox News. I mean, it was bad. I do not want to read that. Okay. So what I want to share with you, too, is that if God calls you to do something and you miss it, you say, like, God said, God wants you to go speak to somebody, and then all of a sudden they're gone. And you go, like, breathe a sigh of relief. But there's something in the pit of your stomach and in your heart that knows that you really kind of missed it. Like, you kind of disobeyed God. Don't worry about it. Just repent. Because God will give you another chance. There are tons of people out there that need a touch from the Lord. That are limping as they walk in the store. And you say, I see that it looks like your knee's really hurting. Are you okay? No, I just had surgery on my knee. Well, can I pray for you? Oh, I don't know, thank you. That's the saddest thing to me. It's when somebody says no. Because I think, what a blessing they're missing out on. Because who knows? Everyone needs a miracle in their life. Is that not right? Every one of us need miracles in our life. And when people say no to the miracles, it's like, are you kidding me? You would say no to that? Some people are just embarrassed. They don't want to be disappointed one more time. Maybe they've already prayed. Maybe they've had a lot of people praying for them. Who knows? Maybe they just don't believe in God. But maybe you stepping out, like when you're driving up the ramp at JCPenney's and God says, I want you to get out and talk to that woman and tell her that I love her. Really, God? Yes, I really want you to do it. So you get out and you begin to speak to that person and you say, did you know that Jesus loves you? And they say, yes, I did. So you go back to the Father and you say, Father, how come every time I tell people that Jesus loves them, you keep prompting my heart to do that? How come every time I do that, they always say yes? Oh, yes, I know that. Oh, yes, I know that. It's like, really? Well, if they know that, then why do I need to tell them? Now this will get you. Because, Kim, I use you with those that are backslidden. Do you remember what Nancy said about the backslidden in heaven? Whoa, there was a mighty powerful party going on, lightning flashing and all that stuff. And I'm like, and I hadn't heard Nancy share that part, but I heard that from the Lord years ago, you know, about in the parking lot there. And I'm like, oh, well, okay, that's fine then. It's not my responsibility. It's his. So that's the other thing about when you begin to, that all things are possible with God. If you think about, okay, all things are possible with God, not with Debbie or Kim. The Spirit of God works in and through us, the power of God. His grace works in and through us, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? They're of the Spirit. They're not of Kim or of Debbie or of Mary Beth. They're up by the Spirit. So God works through us by his Spirit. So when we join with him, and we begin to move with him, I am telling you what, you guys, I have more fun going into, I don't get to go into as many places now as I used to. They used to call me the grocery store evangelist. I used to pray for everybody in the grocery store. I mean, just, you know, line them up, and I'd be praying in tongues over the vegetables and the fruits and all that stuff, and there were some vegetables and fruits down on the Kenai for sure. But I would just be praying and singing. I sing a lot, so I'd be singing, and then God would bring people across my path, and I would just, like, somebody would have an infirmity, and I would begin to pray. Now, let me say this. I was not trained thoroughly in evangelism. I was not trained thoroughly in praying for people for healing. I just went with what God showed me. Honestly, we didn't have any big people that came to our church and said, this is what you do, and this is what you do, and, you know, And then, okay, let me see, move your shoulder, make sure it's all right. And they're in the grocery store line, and you're going, hey, really? Move your shoulder, you know, see if it's 100%, is it 90%, is it 75%? I mean, you know, that's okay. That's just not me. That's just not me, okay? It's more about just moving and doing what God shows me to do, and then he gives me my next assignment, and then I move into that next assignment, and then I miss the next assignment, and then I move into the next assignment. You hear me? I miss the next assignment. I repent, and then I move into my next assignment, and then my next. You may be my next assignment. I mean, I don't know, Marty. You might be my next assignment. Marty and Janet Delfino, I have to tell you this. Talk about being led by the Spirit. I was at a shoe store, which I never go to, but I understand Janet likes to go to shoe stores. So she comes into the shoe store clear on my side of town, and all of a sudden I see her. I see the two of them pull up, and I'm like, are you kidding me? We had just been praying together with Liz and some other another couple and about the conference and stuff. And so anyways, I'm like, I know that this is God. So they come in, and we're visiting. And anyway, and there's gals that are working in there, okay? So they're helping us, but they're also kind of listening. And all of a sudden, anyways, through a course of events, I ended up starting to pull out in my car, and I look to the side, to the left side of me. Now, I'm all about looking at license plates. So I look at this license, but I'm like, okay, don't run into the car ahead of you trying to figure out what that car's license plate said. Yeah. You know, believer, whatever it is, you know. But I actually saw one that said bullseye on it. Bullseye, well, I just happen to have this. Does anybody know what this is? It's a bullseye. That was on, what day was that? That was on Sunday? Was it Sunday? No, it wasn't Sunday. Sunday's the day for church. It wasn't Sunday, was it? Yeah, that was Saturday. I don't shop for shoes on Sunday. It was one of those days, anyways. But this opened the door because I said, Marty, come here. I want you to see this car, this truck out here. So he goes over, and I said, what does it say on there? He goes, bullseye? And I said, wow, isn't that cool? I said, it made me think of Nancy and our trip, right? So anyway, so I'm thinking that this is really cool. Well, then Marty says, well, do you think that there's, I wonder if there's somebody in here that drives that truck? I mean, it could have been any of those stores along there, right? But no. So I said, does anybody in this room have a truck with bullseye on the... And this little, not very old gal, maybe she's in high school? High school. She says, it's my truck. So she starts sharing with me why it's called Bullseye, why she has that name. She's been hit 4 times. In 1 year, she got hit 4 times. Well, I did not know this, but she actually had a neck injury, which I've had a neck injury too, so now I can relate, right? So anyways, so now, what do you think I'm doing? Like backing off, going, well, this is nothing, yeah. Thank you. So I'm like, bullseye, right? So I begin to minister to her. Now, I didn't get a chance to really minister thoroughly, but guess what? She works there. So guess what I'm going to do? See, I didn't have it all that day. God didn't allow me to release it all that day. But I'm believing God that I'm going to be able to release more. You see, and I'm going to be able to pray for her healing. And you agree with me, don't you? Yes. It was bullseye. I'm telling you what. I said, God's going to turn around that bullseye. I started telling her about this bullseye thing that needed the conference, and now there's this picture of this bullseye. It's so cool, you know. And that's how excited I get over things. I just get excited because God speaks to so many things in the natural. He shows you things in the spiritual. You know, he releases that word into your heart and builds faith. That built faith inside of me, you guys. And then all I had to do was join my trust with that faith and go, I'm going for it. Because now I know. As soon as she said, it's my truck, then I knew. I'm like, God did not divert my eyes for any other reason other than I was to minister to her. And it's future. See, it's a now. And it's future. So it's present tense and future tense. There's a book out by Dutch Sheets. It's called Becoming Who You Are. Becoming Who You Are. Becoming, future. Who you are is Now, it's present tense. Yes. Right, right.
Every pair of shoes I tried and was, I don't like those. And that gave me time.
It did. It did.
And she came back and she said, oh, I'm sorry. I took the wrong. I said, no, that's my friend.
Yeah.
So
wow. Kind of, you haven't paid me a lot, by the way. You still owe me. That was a joke. Okay, thank you for sharing that, because it's very true. You know, God sets people up. How many of you guys felt set up by God before you guys got saved? Right? How many of you? Did you have to get really down? I did. I was lonely. I was headed towards alcoholism. Smoked pot like a fiend. I mean, there was just so many things that I was involved in. Sex, violence, you know, all that stuff. I was involved in all that stuff. And the Lord set me up. I got so lonely. He put a friend across my path that was a believer that said, if you ever need a friend, I'm here for you. And then I tried to run from her because I was afraid. I didn't trust. But God brought healing, inner healing, and that's really, I wanted to talk about that as well today. Because the way God uses a lot of us isn't necessarily always physical healing. You know, there are times when God wants to use us for physical healing in people's lives. Do you not agree? You know, there's times when God wants to use us for physical healing, but I really believe in this day and age, there are a ton of people, mental. They need mental healing. They need emotional healing. They need a spiritual healing first. They need salvation. And man, Nancy is just speaking my language because I am all about sharing Christ with people. I don't know. It's just like it's in me. I can't help it. I just want to share Christ with people. So it's like God just put it in me to like look for any little crack. Serious. I know it's just like, okay, any little opening. And sometimes I'll just know when there's just not, it's not there. And I won't, if I try to push it, it just does not work. But when I feel the Spirit of the Lord on me, man, you could not beat me and keep me from doing it. I'm serious. And that might sound a little bit crazy, but I enjoy joining my Father and doing his good pleasure, just like Jesus did. I enjoy it. Matter of fact, I'm thrilled by it. I probably love doing it as much, and I'm a teacher. So I'm always teaching voice or piano or choir or whatever. And I enjoy having a lot of fun with my kids, a lot with my adults as well. And God keeps bringing me all these people, kids, teenagers, whatever. And I'm not saying I psychoanalyze, but I have words of knowledge for people that I'm teaching all the time. I mean, I'll speak something to these, they're emotional. A lot of people that come to me, God just brings them to me. They need healing. They need emotional healing, physical healing, spiritual healing. I mean, it's the whole gambit. And I'm just like, wow, God, I'm amazed at how many of my students. I have 26 students plus six. So what is that? 26 and 6 is 32 students. It is a lot of people. In 4 days, I teach that many kids and adults. It's a lot. God has blessed me. This semester, I have more students than I've ever had, ever. And he's just, and I had all my returning students this year, except for one that moved across town. I've shared that testimony. That's just amazing. And it's not about me because I'm not great, but he is. I'm fun, you know. I am fun, and I listen to the Lord, and I'm led of the Lord. But I'm not perfect, and I'm not the greatest. I'm not the best teacher in the world. I'm just, God thinks I'm awesome, and so he uses me. And he loves me, even if I wasn't awesome, right? But he sees me as awesome, just like he sees you guys as awesome. Because he put the creativity in you to do exactly what he's called each one of you to do. So now I'm going to get back to my notes. Notice I'm not crying a lot. Nancy made me cry already, so anyway. I usually cry. I usually have him laughing and crying, you guys. I want to tell you about a neighbor. So my husband and I walk through the neighborhood all the time. It's a testimony about healing. And there's a man, him and his wife, they walk their dog, but they usually don't walk together with the dog. She was a teacher anyway, but she was working different hours than he was. So anyways, this man, I've known him for probably 12 years at least, because his dog is at least that old. And I've known him since the dog was real young. So we walk through the neighborhood. He's walking his dog, and we see him. And I started to share Christ with him one time, and he put a big, I mean, like a wall up. So I don't know where his background is or anything, but I love this man, and I love his wife. They're just awesome. They used to live right around the corner from us. Now they live up in the bigger houses. I don't know how he climbs all those stairs, but anyways, because he's had knee replacements, which is what I'm leading to. So I backed up. I didn't go anywhere with him after that. I just was as kind as I could be. And really, it was true. It was truthful kindness. It was just the love of God and just loving people. And so this summer, ran into him. I hadn't seen him all spring. And he started sharing with me about somebody that works with him that's getting ready to have surgery. Now, why would he share that with me? I have no clue other than God, right? So instead of asking, could I pray with him, I said, well, you know what? John and I will be praying. What's her name? And what is she having done? I mean, I was getting the details. Do you see? So it was a kind of a roundabout way to pray and to get him familiar with God, familiar with the good things about God. Maybe he's had a bad experience with people and with God. Usually it's not with God as much as it's with people that represent God lots of times, right? Or authority member, you know. So anyways, he's like, wow, really? Oh. He was just so blessed that we would pray. And so John and I stopped. You know, as soon as he started to walk off, John and I just prayed as we were walking off. Now, I need to go back and ask him, how's your friend that had surgery? You know, I was even praying that she wouldn't have to have surgery. It was actually a guy that he worked with's wife. He's getting ready to go in for surgery. So anyways, I want to share that testimony because I thought that was cool because I know that that's just a setup. God is setting him up. And he's setting me up because he's faithful. He's going to do it. That was the thing that I wanted to say to you. When you step out in faith to pray for people, to believe God, that God's really speaking to you, understand that you're not responsible for what does or does not happen. You are not responsible. It is not your responsibility to walk away from that and go, well, they didn't get healed. I prayed for them, but they didn't get healed. Sheesh, I spent 30 minutes of my time with them, and they're still all in this big funk, and it's like their mind is like a hairball, you know? It's like, well, it took them 40 years to get there. I mean, the Holy Spirit's the one that does the work. Not, you are just the conduit that God uses, you see? So your faith with your believer, all you did was step into the realm of the supernatural. And then it's up to God to do the work. And if he allows you to see the harvest right then, praise God. But more than likely, there's been a lot of Mary Beths. And I can't remember your name, sweetheart.
Caitlin.
There's been a lot of Caitlins, a lot of Candies, a lot of different people, Carols and Deb, I keep picking on you, and Udas and Liz and Marty's. There's been a lot of people that more than likely have come across their path. And God is setting them up, softening their heart, getting them ready for whatever it is he wants to do inside of them, emotionally, physically, spiritually. We're not responsible for the result. We're only responsible to obey when the Lord says, do it. Do you hear me? I release you from the lies of the enemy that says you're responsible for anything that happens when you pray for somebody. You have faith. You have faith. So your faith, trusting in God, your faith, trusting in the Lord, believing him, and then he does all the work. And then guess what? He gets all the glory. Yes. There you go. You can't take any of the glory. None of it. Because he's the one that does it. People get into big trouble when they start thinking it's all about them. And they, you know, I do want a lot of notches in my belt for people to get saved. Absolutely, I want people. I want every person I run across to get saved. Every person. I'm always looking, always watchful. See, that's part of faith, is being watchful. It's being a watchman. It's watching where. Okay, God, oh, that person over there. Oh, where do you want me to go first today? Let's see, I've got to go to 3 stores, which I never do. But anyways, 3 stores. Got to go to 3 stores today. Okay, Costco's. Ugh. Sam's Club. Ugh. And I've got to go to Burlington, whatever. Which one do you want me to go to first? Because guess what? God's going to set you up. If you begin to ask God for those kind of things, he will give you so many opportunities to pray for people. People will be, sorry, I didn't mean to spit on you, Liz. People will be lining up. You might have two or three divine appointments in one day just by being obedient to the Lord. Now, let me say the other thing. Most of us, I would say most of us in our age group, we work outside the home or we work within our home. So we don't have a ton of time to do a lot of ministering to a lot of people. But you know what? Go outside and take a walk. You'd be surprised at the people that live right around you that have never met you because they see you going into your garage, out of your garage, down the road. Get your butt outside, take a walk with your husband or by yourself, and go meet your neighbors. You would be amazed. Everyone, half of my neighbors think they know me. Serious, they're all waving at me. Do you know? And I mean, I've had opportunities to pray with people, to find out what they believe, because you don't necessarily have to pray with them right there. You're just gathering information. By the way, this is not on my notes. I'm just going by what the Spirit has given me. God just wants us to be kind and loving toward people. And when we're kind and loving toward them, and I know it starts with our own household. I know God's been busting me on that one. Because sometimes it can be a little snotty with our own household and then real nice to other people. God wants to deliver us from ourselves too, right? He wants deliverance to go on in our own hearts. But I tell you what, when you reach out to other people and meet their needs, if it's just prayer, no, I say just prayer, I don't mean it like that, but if it's praying for them for healing or praying for them for emotional healing, being willing to take the time. How many of you love to have somebody saying, how are you? And then you begin to share, well, you know, I've been having a rough time. And they say, well, you know what? I got to go. How encouraged are you by that with people? Don't be people like that. If you don't have time for people, set up a meeting with them for coffee or something. If it's somebody that you know and you know that they need ministry, be willing to step out because God wants to use you to minister to people. What time is it? I can't read that.
Almost 2:30?
Did I start at 1:30? Oh my gosh. Okay. You guys getting something out of this? What happened? That was weird. What was that? Comic relief. Okay. We rarely understand what God is up to. Is that true? We rarely understand the full scope of what he's doing. But when we step into it, But when we obey him and we learn when we obey him how to hear him even better the next time. See, it's all a training ground. It's all preparation. For the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing, but the violent take it by force. That doesn't mean you go in somebody's face and say, you need Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You don't do that. You love people into the kingdom of God. You love them. And if you know that you're never going to see them again in your life, just say, then you still can love on them. You can still love on people. Be kind to those that are around you. I will. I prayed for a lady one time in the middle of the, how many of you have been to JCPenney's on the second level in Anchorage? Yeah. It's got a skywalk. Oh, my goodness. So God had me, he spoke to me and said, I want you to pray for that lady walking this way. She is pregnant out to here, walking with another lady and said, I want you to pray for that lady. And I'm like, oh, no, it's the skywalk. And I'm walking on and I hear the Lord say, no, I want you to go over there and get in front of her. Lord, no, it's the skywalk. I mean, people are walking the whole time by you and stuff. So finally, honestly, truthfully, out of obedience, I just like stepped in front of her right before she got to where I was. I said, excuse me, I know you don't know who I am, but blah, blah, blah. And I gave her this little short spiel and I said, I really feel like God wants me to pray for you. Is that all right? She said, yes. And then I hear the Spirit of the Lord. Guess what he asked me to do? Get on your knees. Are you serious? Okay. Sorry, you guys. I'm not trying to be disrespectful with the Lord. I'm just trying to be real. Because sometimes God will totally do that with you. It's a test because it's part of your testimony, right? So you get down on your, I got down on my knees. And I asked her if I could lay hands on her, I'm sure, no doubt. Her mom was standing there. She was probably about my age now. And I thought she was an old lady at the time. But anyway, she said yes, so I laid hands on her. And I prayed whatever it was God gave me to pray for her. I don't know if the baby was ill in the womb or what was going on in the womb. But whatever I prayed for, I prayed. And part of the reason why I closed my eyes, by the way, was because I didn't want to see anybody walking past, because I would have been really nervous and really embarrassed, right? And so that was really, I closed my eyes for that reason. And when I opened my eyes up, tears were just streaming down her face. And I got up off my knees, and I thanked her for letting me pray for her, and I walked on, and I was so excited. My spirit was so, I knew God was saying, well done. You guys, that's what God says to us when we obey him. Well done. Well done. He didn't say, well, you know, you shouldn't have really said this, and you really shouldn't have said that, and, you know, if you'd only done this, we do that as people. But that's not the spirit of God. That's a spirit of condemnation. So the spirit of conviction is when we do something that we shouldn't be doing, right? But when God prompts our hearts to do something, to pray for somebody, and I'm saying praying for somebody to believe God, you know, that Jesus said all things are possible. Anything's possible. That father had a belief. He had a belief that Jesus could heal. His disciples were the ones that were unbelieving. But really cool what the Lord told Peter at one point. He said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Peter, that when you have turned around, your faith will not fail, and you will go and strengthen the brethren and cistern. And that's what he did. He did that by faith, by faith, by faith. I want God to be pleased with me. Do you not want God to be pleased with you? So, if we blow it or we miss it, God will always give you another chance. So the last time I was here, God gave me a new assignment, which is probably part of the reason why I haven't been here in 5 years. Seriously, because I've been so busy with this assignment that he gave me. And the assignment was, I was out of obedience. Again, I heard the Spirit of the Lord. I was at Vicki Flynn Camp's coffee shop. There was a girl working there, and real quick, I'll just tell you, there was a girl working there, and I was talking with her and found out that her sister was living in Anchorage. And I said, oh, well, that's cool. I said, where does she live? Me and my big mouth. She says, oh, she lives in, she's in McLaughlin Youth Center, which that's maximum security for DOJJ, Department of Juvenile Justice. Now, I had been by there. I never got caught so bad enough, so I was never in there as a teenager. But I was just by the skin of my teeth, probably. But anyways, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, ask her if you can go in and visit her sister. So I did, not knowing what she was going to say. And she said, yes. She said, would you do that? Would you really do that? You would go in and visit my sister in McLaughlin? I said, well, sure. And I'm thinking, okay, God. So anyway, through a course of events, I went in when I got back from the Kenai, I mean from Ketchikan, and I had a new assignment. And since then, that new assignment, saying yes and being obedient to the Lord, God has used John and I, used me specifically, but then John and I gave us both an assignment. We are now ministering. I started out ministering to her, going in, visiting her once a week, and also I told them that I was a voice teacher, so they said that they love music in there, and I just found it tumbling out of my mouth. Oh, do you guys have a choir in here? And then I'm like, what did I just say? Why did I say that? And she goes, oh, I'll have my supervisor call you in just a few minutes. And so about a half hour later, my phone rings. He's telling me, finds out I'm a Christian. I don't even remember how that happened. And then he says, I've been praying for you for 2 years. I've been praying that God would send somebody into this place. Somebody else was already in here. See, they had an assignment, but it got aborted. Who? That assignment got aborted. So now God was setting me up, and so he sent me in there. So I started out as a choir teacher. I had a mean choir, too, because there's some mean girls in there, let me tell you. There was some mean girls. Anyways, but can't nobody be mean to me, because I walk in the love of God, and I also walk in authority. Amen. See, I don't let them mess with me. I let them mess with me to a point, but I don't let them get in my face. So anyways, I was pretty tough when I was younger. So I learned how to handle myself well, with the Lord's help too, you know. But anyway, started ministering that way in music, and then course of events came, and about a year and a half after I'm in there, Lord opened the door for me to go into, the chaplain kept bugging me. As soon as she met me, every time she'd see me, she'd want me to be on her team. Well, there were no religious / general volunteers. Within 2 years, I was a religious / general volunteer. Well, you have to understand, when you walk into that place, somebody was saying it today, Michael Lavelle. God is sending us like arrows out into very dark places. That's exactly what I experienced. How many of you know Joanne Meckstroth? Okay, so Joanne gave me a word back in 2011. She said, I see you. You're like, I see God like pulling back the bow. And as he pulls back the bow, you're the arrow. And as he shoots it out, Kim, I see you hitting the mark every time. Now, this is how many years before Nancy has this word or this teaching, you know, about victory and triumph and love. And anyways, and I'm like, whoa, well, that's stuck in my heart, okay? So, and I'm thinking, what dark places am I going into until I went into McLaughlin? Extremely dark. Not that there aren't Christians there, but let me tell you something. There are some bad things that have happened in there, and some bad people in there, kids that have done some bad things. Let me change that. Kids that have done some bad things in there. So God opened up the door to begin to minister in two different areas. Pretty soon I'm doing music 1 week, then I'm doing Bible the next week. So now you think I don't have a little bit more influence in there and favor? Now the same girls that I settle up beside to teach them music, now they're starting to share their needs with me, their dreams with me. And guess what? Nobody says anything to me about that because I have favor. I walk in favor. Remember the crown that I said was there? Okay, so I'm walking in the favor of God in there. And because I'm both the religious and the general volunteer, I have such, there's that crossover for me that not everybody has. If you're a general volunteer, you don't go in there talking about Jesus. If you're a chaplain, you can still do music. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not a chaplain, by the way. I don't have my credentials that way. Don't know that that's what God wants from me. But anyways, that door opened up, so I began to minister. And then pretty soon, my husband, one of my friends was killed, and her daughter. They were murdered. And I shared this last, in April. Their son, he was in McLaughlin. And the day after it happened, I got a call that night from one of my neighbors. It happened just around the corner from me. And when it happened, I was told that night, first of all, of the mother, and I just lost it. 30 minutes, I screamed, bloody murder. And then after that, I found out it was her daughter as well. We already knew who had done it. Well, okay, he hasn't been prosecuted, but he's admitted to it. So there we go. So it's nothing, it was not... like, you can't talk about it. I'm not saying his name or anything like that. But anyway, so the very next morning, my husband and I are sitting there at the table, kitchen table, having our coffee and talking, and the Holy Spirit breaks in. That's what he says. He says, I'm going to supernaturally allow you to forgive him because you are going to minister to him down the road. That was my friend and my student. And my other little friend, I love that family, right? I've known the family for years and years. So not only did it touch that family's life, it was a ripple effect to the whole community. It's horrible. So anyway, as it turned out, he's in McLaughlin. 11 months goes by. And he sees me doing the Christmas talent show because I'm in charge of the music. So now all my girls are up there, and he sees me, and the staff member comes over and says, can you talk to this young man? And I said, yes, can I? Is that protocol? I mean, I'm always asking this protocol, unless it's sharing Christ, and then I don't care. You know, I kind of just, you know, sidle up to the edge. And so anyway, we met with him, and I get home, and I told John, I said, you know what? God's opening a door. We're going to be able to minister to him. It's time. I said, you watch. Just a few days later, on New Year's Eve, the chaplain calls, and she says, hi, Kim, I know it's Christmas Eve, but I have a question for you. One of the young men in BDU, Boys Detention Unit, would like to meet with you. And I said, is it so-and-so? She said, it sure is. John and I started meeting with him, and about 4 months after in March or April, it just happened. We actually were given special privileges by the king, right, to the staff. We can call at any time we want to come in, as long as it's not late in the evening, because they go to bed at 9. But we can come in any day, any time of day, except for when they're in school now. They're back in school. We can pray with them. We can share with them. We can bring bookmarks in to minister to him. God is just, it's like that door just completely opened. You guys, when I'm talking to you about healing and about believing God that all things are possible, this young man, and I know some people may not believe it, and that's okay, I'm not asking you to believe it. We saw him go from this very ashamed, and we forgave him. We told him that we forgave him. We told him that his mother and his sister forgave him. We told him that we loved him. We told him that we were praying for him. We told him that not everybody is necessarily going to forgive you, but God has forgiven you. You ask him to be your Lord and Savior. You ask him to come and to forgive you. And very short time within, like I said, like in March, I believe it was, he actually gave his life to Christ. Okay, so fast forward to May. I get a phone call. He's going to court. They're going to decide whether or not they're going to hold him over as an adult, because he was only 15 when it happened. So John and I were asked by the attorneys if we would be willing to come in and testify. Well, I knew who was going to testify. I knew it was going to be me. Well, he called me later on the next day, and we were talking on the phone. He got my information and stuff, and I gave him my testimony. The attorney gave him my testimony. The next day, I get on the stand. Prosecution over here, all three prosecutors. Defense attorneys here with the young man and the family in the back, judge behind me. I had favor when I walked in that room. Sometimes I can get rattled. I get scared. I was not rattled. The Holy Spirit actually guided me, and he told me he was going to fill my mouth. I was in there for an hour and 15 minutes on the stand with both defense and prosecution. Do you know what they asked me? He actually led me at the very beginning. Well, I know you're a Christian, so we're going to talk about, you know, so-and-so giving his life to Christ. What does that mean to you, Kim, Mrs. Gaines? What does it mean to become a Christian, and how do you do that? Are you kidding me? I'm in the courtroom. I'm like, it's like Barnaby Jones or something, you know, or Perry Mason, and I'm getting to share Christ with everybody in the room. I didn't talk one little bit iota about the devil. I gave him a black eye that day. He was under my feet. And all I did was talk about Jesus. I didn't say that that kid was perfect. I said that I would see him walk by my house and I would pray for him. And I said, I saw him hanging out with some people that he shouldn't have been hanging out with. Do you know what he told me? This is amazing. He told me not too long ago, he said, you were the only one that came in and testified that didn't say flowery, wonderful things all the way through it. You said it like it was, Kim. I said, well, you know, I love you, but, you know, nobody's perfect, you know, and whatever God's plan is for you, I know that God is going to use you in a powerful way. See, I say, keep, that's what I'm talking about. Anything is possible with God. Anything's possible with God. Anything is possible with God. All things are possible with God for those who believe. We're believers. We're believers. We need to get our believers going. Get our faith going. Let faith arise. You guys know that song. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. I don't know all the words, but anyways. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge. You are my strength. When I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, forever. And let faith arise in our hearts. Let faith arise to believe God. To believe God for anything, because all things are possible for those who believe. Believe me, there are a lot of people out there who are wounded, including us. God wants us to be whole. Now, sometimes it might be on the other side. I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I don't understand why some people don't get healed and some people do. I don't understand all that, but I do understand one thing. If I mix my faith, if I'm willing to step out and not be afraid, and or even do it afraid, you guys, even step into it, even if I'm afraid at the beginning, something rises up within me. Whoa! I might even do that. I get ready to pray for somebody. Who knows? You know, and I mix that, and the Holy Spirit breathes on that. And then all of a sudden, the atmosphere changes. Something shifts in the room. Something shifts when I'm talking to my neighbor. Something shifts, and I see it. I see their countenance change. I see the emotional shackles drop off of their minds. I see things prophetically. I see destiny in their lives, because I know how broken and how messed up I was. And if God can change a little girl who was messed up, who was a victim her whole growing up time, abused, written off, would never be anybody, except for my grandmother told me I was going to be a singer when I grew up. She was not a Christian. She had no idea that she spoke that destiny into my life. And now I teach voice. And I'm, like I said, you know, you can find somebody better than me, but if you're supposed to be with me, then you're supposed to be with me. That's what I tell my students. You know what? You can find somebody else that's better. But if you're supposed to be with me, you'll be with me. And you'll learn something from me. I do teach more than voice. Oh, yes, yes. So, since she's not in here, let me go on. So just to share with you guys, recently the judge made a decision. This young man is going to be held over, according to them, he's going to be held over as an adult. But let me say this. His attorney immediately came in and said, we're going to do an appeal. Now, I'm not going to tell you what my opinion is on that, whether you should be an adult or not. I've had a lot of mixed emotions about this whole thing for a long time, since it happened. But one thing that I know is that, and I keep telling him, I talk to him, you guys, I talk to him like I'm a mom. That's how I talk to these girls and the boys. I talk to them, I'm like a mom to these kids. It's so cool. And my husband, well, some of them have had moms and dads, but a lot of them have had lots of stuff in their lives, you know, bad choices that they made too. Had a 12-year-old little girl that I watched just this toughy, tough, tough, tough. Finally, I said, you stop that. And I just went on with what I was doing. What? Stop that. And pretty soon, then God gave me an inroad with her. Talked to her about her voice. And drew her in a little bit, see. She's tough, but she ain't that bad. She ain't as bad as I was, probably. That's the mom in me, I know, right? I purposely do not ever find out what any of my kids have done before they get in there, because I don't want anything to skew the way I think. So I just allow God to be, like Nancy said, a conduit for whatever it is. I can lay hands on them. I can say, how are you today? I can just do that. How are you today? And, you know, they're, oh, yeah, I'm okay, you know. There's one girl, she's been in there for at least 2 years, I'd say. When she got ready to leave, okay, so I got to show you what happened. So all the girls line up this way on the wing, and they're all standing there, and I got ready to come off this wing. And so I said to the staff member, who is not a Christian, I said, can I go over there and love on so-and-so, because I know she's leaving tomorrow. Mm-hmm. She made sure and let me know. Because I was in there on my anniversary. and she told me she was going to be leaving the following day. So anyways, by the way, even when it's your anniversary, you be faithful. And God honors that. Christmas, he honors it. I love it. My family goes, sure, go for it. But anyway, because I love it. I love what I'm doing. I'm ministering to people who other people have written off. Yeah. And you know what? They probably had reason. They probably have had a lot of reason to feel that way. But so then they probably have prayed, some of them have prayed, that somebody like me or other people like me will come in there and minister to these kids. So anyways, so I said, okay, so I walk over there, stand up, Mary Beth. So I walk over and they're all in line. There's 14 of them. I said, oh, I'm going to miss you. I love you. And she says, really loud, tell me back.
I love you too.
And all the girls are standing there watching. And I was like almost crying, you know, because I'm like, I know she's leaving. I want her to leave. But I don't want her to leave. You know what I mean? I mean, I still want relationship. 2 years, I cannot see any of those kids once they get out. That's how they do it. It's kind of weird, but anyway. I can run into them at McDonald's, which I do. I'm like, hi, Mrs. Gaines, how are you? You know, I'm like, oh, how are you? Oh, it looks like you're pregnant. Oh, great. You know? Wonderful. Looks like you've been doing real well lately. Okay. Lord, help her. Yeah. And this actually happened. Then she introduced me to her boyfriend. So guess what? More influence. And then John and I were walking in our neighborhood. And we decided to walk across the bridge over by Bell's Nursery. We walked down into Hamilton Park, and we ran right into her and her boyfriend. This just happened. See, God wants to set us up, give us divine appointments, because she's going to need somebody. She already knows me. She knows how I operate. She knows how God uses me. They're watching. People are watching. They're watching to see if you'll be real with them. Because they've already seen, they know phony. And by the way, teenagers really know phony. They know phony from like way back because they've lived a life like that. They've been phony themselves. And they've had a lot of issues. I've understood, I was told by one of the gals, one of the staff members, who is not a Christian that I know of, she said, Kim, I would say at least 90% of the girls on the unit come from parents that are drug or alcohol, or both. Yeah, 90%. That's what she said. Now, whether or not that's true, that doesn't give a kid an excuse to do bad things, right? Which is why this judge is still making this. Oh, by the way, let me get back to this young man. So guess what? Because now he's being held longer, guess what? More influence, right? Because even if he goes somewhere, if he goes down to Seward, God help him. If he goes down wherever God's going to take him, he's going to be prepared. He's going to be prepared for what that next thing is. God's going to give him a ministry. Is it the saddest thing in the world to know that my friend is gone and that her son could very easily go to prison? Yes. It's not God's. Wasn't God's first choice or best. But God will not be mocked. His word never returns void. And if he says that that young man can be healed, can be delivered, can be set free, he needed to be set free from himself. He needed to be set free from who he was. Now who he's becoming. He's becoming who he is. And I'm hoping that how God will use him is that God will use him to pray for people, to believe for people. By the way, his grandfather's a prophet. You think that that man does not have a call, that young man does not have a call on his life? The enemy may derail us for a time. But you know what? You keep plugging in. You keep believing God that anything is possible for those who believe. Anything is possible for those who believe. Anything is possible. And with faith, it's faith. Faith mixed with trust. Believing God at what he says in his word. Get into his word, you guys. You cannot know the God of the word unless you know the word of God. You got to know God's word. You got to have it inside of you. Let it be the first thing that you do in the morning. Some people do it right at night before they go to bed, too. I'm saying get God's word into you wherever that is. Let God speak to your heart and begin to give you divine appointments. And he will, I'll tell you what, it becomes fun. It's like Nancy said, I can so relate to that. Because it's like, do I want, I have not counted that cost. I do not feel compelled like Nancy to go all over the world and do all that stuff. We've gone with him with her on some things. I went to Scandinavia with her, did some prayer assignments and that type of thing. But I'm not called to that. I'm called to what I'm doing right now. And you can you see, am I excited about it? I get to hang out with criminals, and I love it. Isn't that weird? I mean, serious, that's kind of weird. But you know what? Young people have always been my thing. I've always loved young people. I worked with young people in the church for years and years, and I prayed for them, and I saw their mothers come into. Matter of fact, one of my girls, you couldn't hardly walk through that house. I'm telling you, it was very dark. But I started ministering to her when she was 11 years old. She started coming and hanging out at my house with John and I. She'd come out and hang out, and we just love on her and love on her and love on her. And her mom and dad were not Christians. Now her mom is saved, and she goes to Nancy's church. And I didn't recognize her when I first saw her. She goes, do you remember me? I'm so-and-so's mother. And I'm like, oh, wow, sure you are. She goes, yeah, I got saved. And I'm like, maybe God used me to minister to her daughter. Maybe she saw that. Maybe my name is in there. Maybe not, but maybe so, right? You don't know the effect that you're going to have on other people. We have to, so one of the last things that I wrote down was this. It has to be, the motivation has to be love. If we're not motivated by love, then more than likely we won't do it. You need to ask yourself, I give you, this is your homework assignment, since I'm a teacher, and I know there's other teachers in this room. Your homework assignment is to ask the Lord. I'm not trying to bring any condemnation on to anybody. But if you're not sharing your faith with people, if you're not praying for people, if you're really afraid, get with somebody, confess it. Go to one of the leaders here. You know, go to Wade and his wife. Go to different ones that you know, that you're in fellowship with. Go to your pastor's wife. Go whoever, somebody you can trust, and say, I'm having a struggle here. I really want to be able to believe God and to pray and to be set into that place where God wants me to be. Because if love is not the motivation, you need to ask the Lord why. If it's all about you and you're saved and it's okay, something's wrong. I'm not saying you're in deep sin. I'm just saying you need a change. You need God to show you what needs to change inside. Because he's all about people.